All right, case number 2009-2298, in re the application of Columbus Southern Power. The appellant is represented by Mr. Satterwhite.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, on behalf of Columbus Southern Power, Matthew Satterwhite. Also appearing with me at council table today is Dan Conway from the law firm of Porter Wright. As a preliminary matter, I'd like to attempt to reserve 6 minutes of my time. Do my best to watch my time, I understand.
All right.
May it please the court, what we really have here, despite the appellee's efforts to redefine this case, is really a question of the rule of law. The commission made central determinations in its opinion and order that drive the application of the rule of law in this case, which, as we've seen from the earlier argument, really is 4928-143C1. It's been referred to as the market rate test or the ESP test. Particularly in the opinion and order, at page 52, the commission found that if the commission is going to require an electric utility to retain assets, it must also allow that utility to recover the associated cost associated with that asset. And this is all in relation to that original question that the companies had asked in its original application for the electric security plan of whether it was allowed to transfer the generation assets. And the PUCO reiterated this point on page 5 and page 17 of its merit brief before this court. It did not abandon this finding that if it's going to require the retention of the assets, it should also allow recovery of the associated cost. So the commission's now left with a two-prong analysis when considering whether to allow the transfer of assets or the sale of assets, the prior approval. It can, one, grant the prior approval under 4928.17, or two, the commission's determination that if it doesn't, it needs to allow recovery of those associated costs. In the opinion and order, the commission decided it wasn't going to grant the prior approval, which kicked everything into the second bucket of how it was going to allow the recovery of the associated cost that the commission found should be applied. That kicked this into the overall ESP application, the 4928-143C1 test, to apply it to the overall electric security plan and compare it to the market rate option. Now, to do this, the commission made some other determinations in the opinion and order that are important to the case. One, the commission found the proper amount to reflect in the electric security plan, to put it into this mathematical equation to simplify it, was $51 million. The commission also found that CSP had not already recovered these costs associated with these generation assets anywhere in rates before. The commission also found that as long as the company owns the assets, it has the right to recover the associated costs with that. When you apply all of these findings and these determinations by the commission then applied it to the appropriate standard in this case for an ESP and found that this $51 million included with everything else in the ESP passed the test and was better than the market rate option. These are the determinations made by the commission that still stand today. However, we get to rehearing, and while the commission found that these determinations still stand, the commission also attempted to apply a different standard. On page 35 to 36 of the entry on rehearing, the commission found the company did not show that the current revenue is inadequate to cover the costs associated with the generation assets. This is a standard simply not found in 4928.
Which assets were you proposing to get rid of?
It's these two plants, Waterford and Darby, is what they're referred to in the briefs.
Right.
Prior to Senate Bill 221 under the Senate Bill 3 era, when we're moving towards market rates and the market requirement, the company acquired these two assets. So they were never charged to customers, never in rate base at all. And those are the assets that the commission recognized.
But there was no specific plan as to what was going to happen.
At that time?
Yes.
The companies bought them to have the flexibility to decide what to do. At that time, it was told it had to have a market rate, and it bought them at that time for that reason. When Senate Bill 221 came in, there was a change to 4928.17 that required prior approval by the commission before you could transfer these assets. That's why it made sense on the first day that the law was effective when the company went in and filed its application. It simply asked, put us back in the shoes we were in yesterday. We bought these assets. They weren't in rates at all. We're simply asking for prior approval by the commission to be back in that same boat to make those
decisions. The regulatory scheme has been a moving target. Now, if I recall correctly, the earlier legislation told you all to get rid of to separate
Correct. Corporate separation.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting because 49-28-17 is still the corporate separation statute. There's still corporate separation required, yet we have to go to the commission to get prior approval to transfer these assets. It seemed like a no-brainer to the company. How clean can these assets get? They were bought under Senate Bill 3. There were no encumbrances. It wasn't in rates at all. It seemed like almost a formality to go in front of the commission and receive this prior approval. And then we get the determinations by the commission saying, if we're going to deny this, we have to make sure that you get the associated cost recovery with it. Fine. The company can agree with that. What happened was the deviation took place on a rehearing where the commission no longer applied the standard when it was reviewing how to apply those costs.
Are they saying to you, you can't do this, or are they saying you've got to wait and tell us exactly what you're going to do before we'll approve it?
Well, that's sort of how they've tried to portray it. The fact is, in front of the commission was a request for prior approval. The commission said no. And as a backup, they said, but you can come back to us later when you have a transaction specifically. It's still a no. And it sort of flies in the face of the determinations it made. One of the determinations being, if we're going to require you to keep this until you transfer it, you have the right to recover the associated cost. That's simply ignored by the new standard not found in statute that it's applied. Plus, if you look at the statute 49-28-17E, it talks about prior approval. It doesn't talk about approval. Bring in a contract and we'll approve or disapprove the contract. It says prior approval. So the commission denied what the company came in and simply said, we have these assets. They're completely clean. They're not in rate base. Give us the prior approval so we can be put back in those shoes and make those business decisions that we could have made before. But the commission, you know, it's kind of funny. You heard the counsel for the commission earlier say this is a new day. This is not your father's rate regulation. Everything's about the standard in 49-28-143. Yet when they make findings to apply something to 49-28-143, in this case, they don't. We're simply asking the court to instruct the commission to follow its own determinations that say, one, let prior approval exist and let the assets be transferred or sold, or two, hold the commission to its word that if it's not going to do that, it's going to hold these captive, that allow recovery until those assets come,
Why do you say they're being held captive? As I understand it, there was no purchaser for them. There was no real plan. It was just, well, let us do it when we get there, but that doesn't mean that won't be approved if you do go to sell it, will it?
We don't know. I mean, it's in front of the commission right now to approve, and they didn't approve it. It's not in rate base. There's nothing holding it back. The commission said you should get recovery of the associated cost until you do transfer it.
Did you say it's in front of the commission now?
Excuse me?
Did you say it's in front of the commission now?
This case.
Oh.
The issue is in front of the commission with this case. If not now, when? I don't know what's going to be different when we bring an actual contract in front of them. You know, keeping in mind, prior approval doesn't have to be exact approval. It can be prior. But the facts really can be no different at that time.
What does the statute say in connection with seeking approval to sell?
I believe the words are the company must have prior. I can get it for you in a second here. Must have prior approval for the transfer of the assets when before it was, that was absent.
Is there an active attempt at selling this so that you could take a proposed sale pre-agreement or preliminary agreement to the PUCO for blessing?
The company is always looking at its options.
Do they have somebody identified to buy these assets?
I don't really want to say if there's a transaction going on out there in the market or anything. I think that would be unfair, and it's not in the record. But it sort of is beside the point.
It's not beside the point because that's the impression I got from the PUCO is that you're premature. And come back to us when you've got something definitive to tell us. They didn't deny you the ability to transfer. What they did deny you, you know, you've got to pay for the upkeep of these assets, and you're not being able to recover them based on the rehearing decision. But you know, once you got that decision from the PUCO, I presume you came here to appeal. But isn't there a little option for self-help here?
Well, it's a clever sidestep, if I can say that, by the commission. Because the commission still made the determination that if we deny you the right to do prior approval, which it did, you have the right to recover the associated costs until that time. Whether we come back with a real transaction later or not, the commission's found until that time you have the right to recover the associated costs. So it said come back to us when you have a different transaction, but it didn't mirror that and marry that up with the finding that if we're going to deny you, and make no mistake, there was a denial. There was a request for prior approval and then a denial to say come back later. That is the denial, and that doesn't match the directive by the commission saying you have the right to recover until that time.
Counsel, these are coal-fired?
These are gas.
Gas-fired?
Yes.
So you don't have environmental problems holding you back in a sales transaction or any of those kinds of problems?
Not that we would have with coal, I would say that.
Yeah. Are they inefficient? Is that why you want to dispose of them, or are they more efficient than the other facilities you own, and perhaps that's why the commission isn't so anxious to see you unload them?
I won't endeavor to speak for the commission. I will ask that the court not focus solely on you could have brought a contract or are you trying to sell these right now. I think that's really beside the point. What we have here is the commission not applying the rule of law, not applying the standard in this case, following its own determinations.
You explain, and I guess I've forgotten what you said already as to why you bought them.
It's been moving whatever I said.
Why you bought them. You just recently acquired them, right?
In 2005 and 2007.
And you bought them for what reason?
At that time, we were supposed to be providing market rates, just as it now, I guess in theory. And the companies bought these to add to a portfolio to be able to have the flexibility to make decisions and react to the market. The same thing it's doing today. The problem today is we have the encumbrance on it of having to get prior approval that the commission's already denied. The commission itself has recognized that if it's going to deny that, there are certain rights that the company must have.
I assume the company is not generally in the business of buying and selling generation facilities.
It's not its primary purpose, but obviously it's important to its purpose to make sure it has the generation to provide. And behind that is we're simply a business trying to make decisions. And what the commission did in this case was not make a decision. So the business environment is undefined. We asked for a ruling. We asked for a decision. And the commission said, we're not going to give you a decision.
Did you for the recovery of the cost?
Originally, in the application, we simply asked for the prior approval of the transfer of the assets.
Prior approval to sell or transfer.
Correct. And the commission, as we've heard today, has the right to modify. It modified the ESP, the electric security plan, filed based on these directives that it found in its underlying case, that if it's going to deny, then you should have the right to recover something.
These are operational plants, as you speak.
Yes. Right?
And what percentage of the generation capacity of AEP is gas-fired, coal-fired, nuclear?
I apologize. I don't have the exact percentages of everything. But majority coal.
Majority coal. So gas-fired is a small portion of the operation.
It's not as big as coal, I can say that.
Can I ask one question? Am I correct that your argument is that you need the flexibility at whatever point in the future to be able to sell this without waiting whatever time it's going to take the commission to approve the application? Is that your concern from a business perspective?
Yeah, we just want a decision so we can make business decisions based upon that.
Is there an unreasonable burden to you? So let's say at some point in the future you decide to sell one of these facilities. Is it your contention that it's an unreasonable burden because the length of time it would take to get approval from the commission could impact your ability to conduct your business?
I don't want to say that it's unreasonable. I want to say that it's a factor that impacts any willing buyer that might come in, affects the value, because if we do approach someone or someone approaches us, that's a hoop that has to be jumped through.
The value would change over several weeks or months. I'm trying to get as an unreasonable burden or just something you don't want to deal with. You just want the flexibility to be able to do your business.
Well, the value can change at any time.
Okay.
Really, the point of what we're arguing is that the commission made a finding that still stands to this day that if it's not going to allow us to transfer it, that we need to have the right to recover the associated costs. So whether when we come in at a different time with a different transaction, to us that's irrelevant to the point of holding the commission to its application and to its determinations.
So, counsel, you're not relying on a statute that says if there's no if there's a denial of prior approval, you get cost recovery. There's nothing in the statute that says that. You're relying on its initial
we're asking the commission
is that it?
We're asking to hold the commission to its word of its determination of its responsibilities in this case that it's not reversed or modified.
But not it's not in the statute.
It's the commission's application of the statute.
What specific section of the statute are you talking about?
It's 4928.17e and how that applies then with 4928.143c.
Okay, but that doesn't say cost recovery, right?
It's the commission. The commission's made findings that still stand in this case right now, and we're asking the court to not allow the commission to take something else to trump the finding it's already made. Can I reserve my 1 second for rebuttal? Or?
You've got 15 seconds.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Murgard.
Madam Chief Justice, Honorable Justices of the Court, may it please the Court, good morning again. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for purposes of argument by Mr. Randazzo, who appears on behalf of IEU Ohio this morning. This portion of the case does, in fact, present a very narrow issue. And the question is whether it was lawful and reasonable for the Commission not to pre-approve the transfer of these generating assets while denying additional recovery of operating and maintenance costs that the company hadn't shown that it was not already recovering. The company complains in this instance because it was not given permission to transfer assets that it had no present intent to actually transfer, and also because it was not being given recovery of costs that it had not requested permission to recover. So what happened in this case is that the commission deferred consideration of the transfer of these generating assets and found that the company had not established that it was incurring any costs that it was not already recovering, and therefore said that the company was not entitled to any additional or incremental cost recovery.
That was their determination on rehearing, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's because
initially, is appellant correct that they allowed for recovery costs that were not requested in the application for transfer?
That is correct, Your Honor, and there are a number of costs that were authorized here. First, obviously, to the extent that there are fuel costs associated with these plants, they're entitled to recover those.
All right. Well, let's go to the recovery cost because that seems to be at issue here. So my understanding is the company comes with an application for a nebulous transfer of these assets, and the PUCO says premature. We're not going to allow for that. But as a consolation, we're going to let you recover. There's some cost recovery benefit that we will allocate, correct?
And I will agree with that. The commission did, in fact, say that if there were costs that the company
All right, and then the company asked for a rehearing on the sale, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. And then at that rehearing, they are again are denied the opportunity to sell because no concrete plans for sale. And it's not a denial. As you said, it's come back when you're ready. Oh, and then we've taken another look at the unsolicited look at the recovery option we gave you in round one, and now we're going to say, whoops, we're not going to give you that either.
Well, actually, that portion of its decision was based on a rehearing application made by IEU. IEU Ohio's argument on rehearing was that the record did not support a finding that the company should recover additional costs,
okay.
That the company, in fact, was already recovering those costs. And in reconsideration of the record, the commission agreed with that argument on rehearing and said, you know, you're right, we don't find sufficient evidence to justify the recovery of additional costs here. Therefore, as Mr. Satterwhite indicated, the commission stood by its finding that the company was, in fact, entitled to recover such costs. All it said was, but you haven't shown us that you're not already doing it. And for that reason, the commission said that they were not entitled to additional recovery. The company then sought, if we were to take your story one step further, additional rehearing. But in that additional rehearing, the company sought rehearing once again of the denial of the transfer and not the commission's decision not to permit recovery of the costs. Consequently, even this cost issue is not properly before you today.
Counsel, on 4928.17e says, no electric distribution utility shall or transfer any generating asset it wholly or partly owns without obtaining prior commission approval. And you are interpreting that not as they do, that you have a duty to give them blanket approval. You're interpreting that as you bring us a sale and we'll determine prior to the sale whether you have approval. You're reading it more narrowly than they are?
I am, Your Honor, and I am in part for a couple of different reasons. One is because at the time this case was proceeding before the commission was in the process of adopting rules to implement portions of this statute. As you know, the statute became effective at the end of July of 2008. Everything was supposed to be in place by January 1st of 2009. There was an awful lot going on at the commission. So the commission was in the process of considering rules, and those rules included the specific process for presenting an application for transfer of generation assets. So that's one of the considerations here. The other consideration here is that staff witnesses did testify in this case that the sale or the transfer of these assets could have some financial and or policy impacts for the company that were undetermined without knowing what the details of that transaction would be. Therefore, because there might be some impact, and that impact could affect the ESP plan, it was inappropriate to make a determination until we knew what that transaction would
look
like.
So is our legal issue, because we, you know, try to defer to you on factual, is our legal issue to determine, without obtaining prior commission approval, is our legal issue, what is the parameters of that requirement? Does that a narrow requirement or is that a broad requirement as they seek? Is that our legal issue pretty much?
I suppose it could be characterized that way. I think, Your Honor, the question is, was there something that required the commission to approve the transfer of these assets? And I think it's very clear that the section of the statute that relates to the prior authorization doesn't indicate any specific standard that the commission has to adopt in order to approve those. But since it was presented in the context of this entire plan, that standard, the is it more favorable in the aggregate than a market rate offer would have been, is still the one that applies. And the commission determined that not pre-authorizing the transfer of these assets, not permitting the recovery of costs not adequately established by the company, the ESP was, in fact, more favorable in the aggregate. So the commission applied the standard that was in the statute with respect to this transfer as the company presented it to the commission. Your Honors, I would respectfully submit that the commission did apply the proper standard in this case, that the company has not properly preserved the issue for appeal, that the company has not established that it was entitled to any additional cost recovery with respect to these facilities, that the request to transfer the assets was premature, and that the commission's orders in this regard.
Is there anything in the statute that talks about the timing of the transfer of assets as opposed to the commission approval?
Vis-a-vis the ESP application, or are we talking about transfer of the assets on a standalone basis?
Transfer the assets.
Your Honor, then let me say that to the extent that it is included as part of the ESP application, as the company did in this instance, that's the timeline that would apply. 150 days for the first authorized, 270 days for subsequent, as far as the commission's period for making the determination is concerned. As respects a separate separation application, which is what that would be called, there is nothing in the statute that prescribes what that specific timeline would be. That would be something that would be encompassed within the commission's regular docket monitoring.
Could the commission exercise discretion and just authorize a blanket transfer if it chose to?
Could it have done so in this case, Your Honor? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor, they could have done so in this case. The commission did not in this case because, as I indicate, there were considerations that it might have some sort of financial or policy impact that was unknown, and consequently the commission felt that it did not have enough information to be able to authorize it here. And with that, I would request that the commission's order be affirmed and yield the remainder of my time to Mr. Randazzo. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Randazzo, you have about 6.5 minutes.
Good morning, Chief Justice, members of the court. Let me jump into a couple of things here and see if I might shed a little light on and provide some context. The addition to 49-2817E, specifically, that deals with a transfer of generating assets, like many things that were dealt with in Senate Bill 221, was an addition that was made in a context. And this court, some of you may remember, We had a series of cases involving Monongahela Power, where Monongahela Power transferred generating assets and then alleged that it was required transfer generating assets to an unregulated affiliate and continued to purchase the generation supply from the unregulated affiliate pursuant to rates that were approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and argued that the State Commission, the PUCO, was preempted by federal law from doing something to protect customers from an extraordinary increase in rates. That is the context in which the General Assembly stood up and said, we need to have the PUCO with explicit authority, instead of allowing utilities to transfer willy-nilly without some contextual understanding of the impact on customers, we need to have a change to the law. And the General Assembly rightfully changed the law and added 4928.17e. That section of the law deals with corporate separation. And the whole purpose of that section is to make sure that the utility is not doing something through its vertical integration, through its ownership, common ownership of generation, transmission, and distribution, to do things that would be unfair, unbalanced, inappropriate from a customer's perspective and also from a market development perspective. Again, a context that I think works very much against the proposition that the appellant has laid before you. I would also suggest to you, as driven by the Elyria Foundry case that gets much reference in all of this, that whatever the Commission did relative to an application to transfer must be guided by the policy objectives that are in 492802. This Court has specifically instructed the Commission to take those policy objectives seriously. So with a blanket request to transfer generating assets, the Commission did not have any information. It continued to be a blanket request throughout the Commission's process. The utility never identified any intention to plan. The proposition that the appellants lay before you is because the PUCO would not give AEP authority at the time to transfer and sell generating assets that it did not presently intend to sell, AEP asserts that it is entitled to more money for keeping what it had and intended to keep. I suggest to you that that is a ridiculous proposition. Now, with regard to the compensation question, the evidence before the Commission, and here we have one of those situations where we're never quite sure what the language we're talking in, whether we're talking about cost or some hypothetical market valuation, but the evidence before the Commission, and this is not rate-based rate of return stuff, it's typical balance sheet income statement stuff. If you look at the evidence that was before the Commission, Columbus and Southern, which is the appellant, in 2007 generated a 22% return on common equity. If you have positive net income, by definition, you are recovering your costs. That is standard financial language. And in this case, the evidence, and it's on page 10 of our supplement, the evidence shows that Columbus and Southern in 2007, this is after they acquired those assets, after those assets would have been reflected in their common equity ratio, after the expenses associated with these assets would have been reflected in the income statement. Columbus and Southern owned these assets. This is from their financial records. They had a 22% return on common equity. This decision, this part of the Commission's decision, and I'll be perhaps too flip here, but this is the one lucid moment in the decision that we see where the Commission is actually holding the utility accountable for demonstrating that it needs more money. And in the scheme of what the General Assembly instructed the Commission to do, with the policy objectives that the Commission has to, at times, difficultly balance, we'd suggest to you that, at least with regard to this portion of the decision, that the Commission called it right. If AEP has a plan to sell its generating assets, and by the way, it had prior approval to sell generating assets from the Commission and decided not to do it, as Synergy did, as Duke did. Everybody was chasing the Enron business model, and when Enron imploded, they decided to go back to their core business.
So the initial order by the Commission on this point was erroneous with respect to giving a fallback position when the prior approval was not allowed?
Your Honor, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, if I understood the appellant, the part of the argument was in the initial order, they were given the costs when they didn't get the ability to sell the asset. Are you suggesting that that initial order was incorrect and the modification on rehearing was to correct a mistake that had been made?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm sorry. And we were responsible for filing the application that called into question the Commission's decision to give Columbus and Southern more money as a result of keeping things that it already had, particularly in the face of the return on equity information that was presently before the Commission. Yes, absolutely. With that, I'll conclude. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Satterwhite, you've used all of your time, but you can start with 30 seconds.
I think Justice Lansinger just hit the nail on the head right there. What the IAU just represented, that the Commission made an erroneous decision on its original opinion and order, the Commission didn't walk away from, didn't reverse. In fact, in its brief before this Court, said that standard still applies. And so despite all the things that the Council for the Industrials brought up about things outside this case, if you look in the four corners of this case, the Commission's made a determination that if it's going to deny prior approval to transfer, it needs to allow cost recovery. So the proper rule of law in this case is how that fits into the ESP test versus the market rate.
Mr. Margard suggested to us in his argument that that issue is not properly before the Court because the only matter that was brought to us was the transfer issue and not the cost recovery issue.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the brief, the merit brief and reply brief, specifically the reply brief of Columbus Southern Power in this case, it goes extensively through all the references to both sides of this coin. It really is two sides of a coin.
You think the issues are intertwined, are you?
Absolutely. I mean, and the Commission is the one that intertwines, and the Commission set up the standard.
I understand but the issue that you presented to us is only the transfer, or is it also incorporating this, or do you think it's incorporated by
reference? I think it's incorporated the same. I think the Commission's combined them. Originally, as I said, the company asked just for the prior approval, and the Commission made the finding that, despite what we just heard, still stands today.
If I heard Mr. Randazzo's argument, he suggests that there's no reason to permit an additional cost recovery on an asset that you already owned and get additional revenue for it.
And I think what Mr. Randazzo
said, we denied the request to transfer, and then there wasn't any reason to give a rate recovery because you already owned it.
Well, this gets directly into what we've said from the beginning, the proper rule of law in this case. The Commission found, and it still stands today, these assets are not in rate base, are not being recovered from customers. Yet the Commission is not allowing the company to transfer or sell those assets. It's essentially holding them and with the requirement.
Where do I find that these assets are not in rate base?
At page 52 and 53, I believe, of the Commission's opinion and order, it's a finding made by the Commission that these have not been in rate base. And applying this, you know, as the counsel for the Commission said, your father's regulation, they've gone back to apply your father's regulation instead of the statute that in the previous argument they said is the only rule of law that should be applied.
You've given us a lot to think about.
Thank you.
That's what I try to do. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter into consideration. You'll be advised of our opinion.